It's just after 2. Time for Murphy on 1460 KXNO, Des Moines Sports Station.
Murph and Andy, 1460 KXNO on a Thursday. It is a Sports and More Thursday. Keith Murphy, Andy Fales, Andrew Downs. Andy, if I seem a little bit off to begin with here, I just stopped at Walgreens and the lady in line was telling the lady behind her how everybody on both sides of her family has been in prison. And
Wait. This is a lady in line or this is a cashier?
No, she's in line behind me. Right, she's telling the lady behind her.
Everybody
on both sides of my family has been in prison. A few on one side got out, and I tried to give them a job and let them fix my house up. And they screwed that up. I told them, you're going back to prison. And then I had to go. But I just
you kind of wanted to stay.
Yeah, I just want to see why they're going back to prison.
Well, so is this a bragging point? Everybody's been to prison, or a bragging point? I'm the only one that hasn't.
I think it was a frustration point. She just needed to tell somebody she's tired of both sides of her family being in prison.
Was the other person somebody they knew, or was this a total conversation with a random person?
Seem random, but they're bonding in line because you know those chats get started in lines, and you think
not ones quite like that, but yeah, I mean, I have there's some small talk there.
If you work a cash register, you'll learn pretty good. People will tell you some kind of wild stuff.
There's some people that have no problem with self-disclosure.
Right.
Oh, boy. Okay. Did you work a cash register?
Yeah, I worked at a famous footwear for a long time over in Iowa City.
You had to put some register time in
Absolutely.
There. Man. All right. Oh, yeah. It's time to give away the $1,000 Christmas bonus. Text the keyword BANK to 200-200 right now for your chance to win. Standard message and data rates apply. All right, let's start with baseball. 10 seasons World Series title. Team ahead of schedule, young team ahead of schedule, and Joe Girardi is out as the Yankees manager.
I thought he was going to be okay since they made it to the NLCS or the ALCS.
This is a tough time to be a manager. You can be a playoff manager and lose your job.
They're in Game 7 of the ALCS.
Yeah,
they're a game away from the World Series.
He had the one blunder, but they rescued him. From that.
I think there was a feeling, though, that he was right on the edge before they even entered the playoffs, which is odd because I think everybody consensus is that they're a little ahead of schedule right now.
Yeah,
the Yankees being so young,
some would say a couple years ahead of schedule to be in the ALCS.
Something must not have been right there. It wasn't going right.
There was some talk that maybe he didn't want to return, but that was a couple of weeks ago. And then the statement he put out today was, I'm heartbroken to let you know that they don't want me back. So obviously
they may have their eye
on
somebody else.
I was shocked by it.
There might be another man.
He's a Chicago guy, right? Because I heard Michael Wilbon say yesterday that there was some talk that Joe Girardi might decide to not go back, to look for an atmosphere with less pressure maybe, or just sometimes you need a change. I think that's true of coaches and managers. Sometimes you need a change and everybody gets everybody hits the reset button. But this doesn't sound like that's what this was. At least he is saying publicly they did not want him. And this isn't George Steinbrenner. This is his kids, who are seemingly more laid back. Staying with baseball here at the top of the Murph and Andy Show, we just saw, I don't think this is a prisoner of the moment sentence, I think we just saw one of the greatest games in World Series history. It was wildly entertaining. It took a while. It was extra innings, but it was fun to watch. Dodgers and Astros, Game 2. Dodgers won Game 1. Sixth inning, Dodgers and Astros tied, and Corey Singer swings big.
Seager, fly ball, Seager. Left field, it's deep, Gonzalez to the wall, gone, a home run! Corey Seager, and the Dodgers have a 3-1 lead!
That is Charlie Steiner on the Dodgers Radio Network, and Seager does not rhyme with swinger. Corey Seager with the big home run. So it's 3-1, Andy, and at this point, with that Dodgers bullpen...
Yeah, you think it's done.
Yeah,
you think
it's over.
It's going to be a 2-0 lead.
Yep.
It's just, is this going to be a Dodgers sweep?
Yeah, that's where your mind starts to go because you think they're getting these two in L.A., but it is not over.
And Marwin lifts this one pretty deep to left center field. Taylor on his horse going back at the wall. Let's go! Let's go! Marwin has tied it at three!
Wow. Gonzalez Silence. With a home run. And yeah, it got really loud at Dodger Stadium at times last night. But that tied it at three. So 3-3, headed to extra innings. To the 10th inning, and Altuve and Correa tag team home runs.
Yordan Alvarez back as a 2-0 is drilled deep to left center field. Going back is Taylor looking up. See you later! Jose Altuve puts the Astros ahead in the 10th, 4-3. 0-1 breaking ball, and that's hit well pretty deep to left center field. And you can kiss that one goodbye! Back-to-back jacks for the Astros, 5-3.
Astros radio network, so that's
so you think
exciting.
That's over.
Yeah, it does feel over. It's 5-3, feels over, right? Wrong.
Fly ball, left field. Puig has hit it out. It is now 5-4. Ground ball, base hit into right field. Here comes Forsythe. Throw to the plate, and he is safe. And the Dodgers have tied it at 5.
That is when it got as loud as you can hear a baseball game. It was crazy. 5-5 to the 11th, and Houston Springer goes big.
And Springer drives one pretty deep to right center field. On the run is Hernandez looking up, and that ball is gone! A two-run home run for George Springer, and the Astros are back on top. It's 7-5.
Wow. All right. So that, you think,
so
must
that,
be
that's going to be the final score.
You think that's over. And then Culverson steps up at 7-5.
Fly ball to left field. That one is deep. That one is gone. The legend of Charlie Culverson continues to live at Dodger Stadium. It is now 7-6.
Now, I never heard, maybe you did, AD, did Culverson mistakenly think he had tied the game? I mean, that is one of the most celebratory runs I've ever seen, but they're still down a run.
Yeah, I never did see if that was the case, or you know, maybe he won't admit it now, but it seemed like it at the time. It was like, he thinks he tied this game.
He's pointing, yeah. And he's celebrating. I mean, it was way over the top. It was there was no restraint about it, but it made it 7-6. And then Yasiel Puig strikes out after fouling off several 3-2 pitches to end it, and the Astros win 7-6, and Andy, looking at analytics, you mentioned the potential sweep there. Now this takes the Astros with three home games to 48% likelihood they win the World Series.
Yeah, haven't lost a game in Houston this postseason. They go back there, they win those three, and then it's over.
The Astros' first World Series team to hit home runs in the 9th, 10th, and 11th innings.
This is a crazy, what a crazy postseason. We've had a few games where all of the runs were provided by home runs. We've had a game where they were all provided by solo home runs. We have had, one of the Cubs games.
Eight home runs. That's a World Series
record. That's crazy.
I think the only hits Verlander gave up were home runs. It's like home run or nothing right now, but it does add to the drama in this kind of setting. The Astros still haven't lost a game started by Justin Verlander, which is an interesting statistic after the late season trade that has taken the Astros to another level. And we are joined by our old friend Bryce Miller, the San Diego Union-Tribune. He covered games 1 and 2 in Los Angeles. Bryce, welcome back to the Murph and Andy Show.
Well, a little bit of fake news right out of the gate. I only covered game one.
Oh, I thought you covered. That's fake news. Fake news. All right, so you're in game one. I saw all the photos. I just assumed you went back. Well, you're too good to go to game two?
You know, I actually had too much other stuff going on. I'm one of the lead guys on the Breeders' Cup, which, you know, a lot of people outside of maybe Prairie Meadows and Des Moines care about, but it's the richest weekend in horse racing. We got sheets and private jets and all that kind of crazy stuff, so I have a bunch of pre-work to do on that. But I was at game one, and I watched every two, which was the best baseball game I've ever seen in my life.
We love Bryce. It's the only reason we're going to tolerate this bad reception for now. We're going to hope that he drives up to a hill and suddenly it gets better. Bryce, I heard Colin Cowherd here on 1460 as I was driving in say that he's never seen Los Angeles more engaged in any kind of game, including basketball, than Los Angeles was last night with this dramatic game, too. That seems like it must be an exaggeration, but there in California, what was it like, or what kind of stories and anecdotes are you hearing about how excited people were to watch that great game?
Well, that must be an exaggeration, right? Because the Los Angeles Chargers, with their rich history, that has to be as excited as Los Angeles ever gets.
Being sarcastic there, I think. I can't totally hear what you're saying, but go ahead.
No, it's what's happening. You go back to 1988, you've got, you know, Vin Scully there. In game one, you had, you know, they're panning around, and Rob Lowe and George Lopez are waving flags on top of the dugouts. And, they're bringing out people like Fernando Valenzuela to throw out the first pitch. It's just this reaching back in history for a franchise that we all know, at least in my era growing up, had, you know, one of the best baseball histories and traditions going. And that had gotten lost over the more recent generation. But right now it's this reaching back to everything that was great about Dodger baseball. And this team flat out is just fun to watch. What Justin Turner's doing, what Chris Taylor's doing. Clayton Kershaw's a generational player. Kenley Jansen, until last night, looked Eckersley-esque in terms of what he'd been able to do over the regular season and how they thought he was unhittable. It's just a great baseball team, but people in the country forget that the Astros are an unbelievable team that won 101 games, and the only reason they're not thought of in some of the same sort of ways is that's just an art market that isn't on national TV, and it's not in the national consciousness. Not the way the Yankees are, not the way the Dodgers are, not the way the Cubs and the Cardinals are.
Bryce, you're the king of going to events like that and walking out of there with a whole bunch of grade-A contacts of celebrities and sports heroes. Who did you end up meeting? Who are you going to do stories on later down the road?
Well, I've done stories on him in the past, but I spent a decent amount of time up there with Steve Garvey. He's got Padre connections. Everybody knows him and thinks of him rightfully as a Dodger, but he still had the biggest swing in Padres history, that homer off Lee Smith. The Cubs fans, including me, remember, maybe not fondly, but remember. But really good guy. Talked to him quite a bit. And then the last round, I spent a little time talking to Tommy Lasorda. It's just it's incredible who's there at events like this. They do come out of the woodwork. Stan Kasten, the president of the Dodgers, talked to him on the field a little bit the other day. Like I said, when you're reaching back to 88 in a place like L.A. where the Dodgers matter so much, and you could argue the only thing that matters as much in that town in a sports way is the Lakers. The Lakers, until they got Lonzo Ball, just haven't generated this kind of recent interest. This town was just waiting for this, and that's the reason you see all kinds of people floating through the stands. Jerry Seinfeld was there the other night. It's something special when you feel that.
Bryce Miller is with us in California, covered game one of the World Series. He warned me it might not be a great connection. It's not a great connection, but it's a good enough connection to play. Guess whose birthday?
Let's do it, Bryce. You're up first. Guess whose birthday?
I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
What's that actress on, that comedian on Saturday Night Live? Or is that the real one? Is that Hillary Clinton?
That is Hillary Clinton.
Well, that
not
is
Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, that is a bad reception if you think that's Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton.
How old is Hillary Clinton?
How old is her pantsuit? Her pantsuit is... Geez, I have no idea. I'm going to say 63.
She is 70. That's a... Yeah.
It's not double digits, Bryce. You're fine.
It's true. Andy, guess his birthday.
Ladies and gentlemen, and Vanna White.
Pat Sajak.
It is.
He is, man. I'm going to say he's 68.
He is 71, so that's a miss as well. We're tired of going to the final round here. Bryce, guess whose birthday?
You know, like nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Well, I'm screwed. I know it's the guy from Napoleon Dynamite, but there's no way I'm going to say. I have no idea. But it's a great movie, and he's really good in it.
It is. He is. It's John Hader.
John Hader.
How old do you think he is?
I don't know. John Hader is 37.
He is 40, so that's a miss. Andy, just need one here. Guess whose birthday?
Our first guest tonight is the diabolical mind and voice behind Family Guy, American Dad, and the foul-mouthed stuffed animal movie, Ted. Please welcome...
That's Seth MacFarlane.
It is.
Seth MacFarlane is 45.
He's 44. You win.
It's probably the reception. I would guess.
You know what? That's just a little slice of home for me. Nothing feels more like home than getting beat by Andy on guess
his birthday. Hey Bryce, how about this? Sound Off lookalike came in last night, and it reads, "Hey, is that Redfield's own Bryce Miller with a great tan throwing out the first pitch, or is that Fernando Valenzuela?"
What? I'm guessing, I didn't see it. I'm guessing that's a huge compliment because I'm guessing Valenzuela weighs like 280.
No, he looked good. He looked good. And
no,
we know you.
No, he didn't look good.
No, he looked good. And you've lost a bunch of weight.
He looked good?
Yeah, he looked good.
He's quite a bit heavier than he was.
Not Bryce. Bryce is thinner than he was.
His hair is good and black.
Yeah, and he threw a pretty good pitch, right?
Yeah, yeah, he did throw a good pitch.
Yeah, it was one of the things that was interesting, Bryce, listening last night as when Valenzuela threw out that first pitch, is Vin Scully just pointing out all the complete games that Valenzuela had. Man, we don't see that anymore.
20 in a season.
You know, I can't remember. I think I might have been talking to Andy about this one time, not on the air or anything, but just we were talking. Remember that, you know, Bob Feller means so much to Iowa. You know, back in those days, those guys would be starting pitchers. You'd throw both sides of a doubleheader, or, you know, it was nothing in those days to throw 13, 14 innings. And now it's the opposite of every other sport where they say, you know, weight training and physical ability and all those things advance and evolve, and people are more able to do things than past athletes in their sports can. But there's almost a point where it reverts in baseball related to pitchers, where they're so specialized, they make a huge deal out of a closer having a five-inning save. Or, you know, it might be a 20-pitch five-inning save. And that's a huge storyline in a game these days. You know, Bob Feller would just laugh at
me. He would certainly laugh at the idea of Clayton Kershaw coming out in a game like that after seven innings with 11 strikeouts.
Yeah, and it was interesting last night, too. Just it would have been one of those strange things, and it's probably happened. I'm sure it has in World Series history, but I couldn't remember it. Last night at Channel 13, Justin Cerency was doing a story about Dallas center Grimes' Tony Watson, who's, you know, continues to give back to the community and donated a scoreboard. Well, until that home run that the Astros hit to tie it in the ninth inning, Watson was going to get the win in that game, having thrown one pitch, and he was in line to get the win if they didn't come back. He got the Astros to hit into a double play. So that's one of those odd things that can happen in baseball.
Well, the Dodgers were in position to win, potentially getting out hit 14-5, and Verlander was throwing a no-hitter through, what, five, something like that, and all of a sudden, you look up, the Dodgers had three runs on two hits. It's just what we saw last night, the kind of chaos of the numbers behind how exciting it was. What was it, six home runs hit in the ninth inning or later? And think about that. 98% of every baseball game you watch, if there's a home run hit, the number of home runs hit in the ninth inning or later is one in 98% of the cases. It's one that usually wins the game.
That's
six.
It's a good point, Bryce. Hey, great talking to you. I wish we had a better connection because we always enjoy our conversations. But join us again soon, Bryce.
All right. Bye, guys.
Thank you, Bryce Miller. Somewhere in the like on the Ventura Highway or something like that. Not
yeah, sound like there was a mountain.
He was driving
him
into
us.
LA, which is the worst part of his life in San Diego, is when he has to drive into LA.
Yeah, he's already developed that LA hate that they have in San Diego. I think that's good. I think that's healthy. But he
well, I thought everything but he was cool.
No,
man,
no.
I spent 10 days in LA. That's enough. I'm done. I'm good. I'm good on LA. Yeah.
All right, well, that's Andrew Downs right there. We're about to hear from him some more because AD talks to, this is not a misspeak. AD talks to William Shatner next. First, the three-point play, though. If you'd like to play, 284-5966, 284-KXNO.
For three. Oh! He'll fire another long three. Good again! For three more. Yes!
Take a shot at the three-point play.
Three-point play is brought to you by CryoVitality in Clive and Ankeny. Sleep better and have more energy with whole-body cryotherapy. The winner of the three-point play gets a $30 gift card, which is worth an introductory session with no obligation. And we'll get it started here with Shane. Shane, can you name this sports voice?
It's time for Dodger Baseball! Good night, love you!
And just need the most prominent voice there, not the other 70,000.
Yeah, Vin Scully.
Vin Scully it is. Nicely done. Name this band.
Don't want to be an American idiot.
Who is that, Shane?
Is that the All-American Rejects?
It is not the All-American Rejects. Thanks for playing. Brad, you have a chance to steal the band. Do you know who that is?
Green Day.
It is Green Day, and for the win, name this movie.
He got me invested in some kind of fruit company, and so then I got a call from him saying we don't have to worry about money no more, and I said, that's good. One less thing.
One less thing. Brad, who's...
Forrest Gump.
Where to your mother?
You got it, Brad. I had a feeling you would. That would be one that would shock me if anybody missed that one. I've been shocked before.
I tried to pick a more obscure clip, but it's hard to get away from the voice.
All right, Brad, AD will join you in just a minute there to help you with your prize. But first of all, three with AD, which we always enjoy. Always? Has there been one you haven't enjoyed?
Some are better than others.
The Mel B one wasn't great.
Okay, all right, Mel B, call her out. She deserves it. So you're talking to William Shatner here. He's coming to Des Moines next week, right?
Yeah, he's going to be at Hoyt Sherman a week from tonight with his one-man show, which he started on Broadway and now kind of tours around the country with.
He's an interesting guy.
What is a William Shatner? Was it a comedy show?
Well, you'll find out. We'll talk about it a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, and he, gosh, he was on that crazy show where he and Terry Bradshaw... And some comedian, like they just traveled around these exotic locations in the world. Yeah, Henry Winkler,
right.
And it was fluff, but it was actually kind of entertaining. It's like these old guys just having a blast traveling around, and he seemed like kind of a interesting guy. Like he's learned to laugh at himself. I know he used to get a little defensive about the Captain Kirk stuff.
Yeah, I was a little worried talking to him that he could be a jerk. He totally wasn't. He was a very nice guy when I talked to him, and it was fun.
Yeah, Andy, you remember on SNL when he finally turned it around, and he's like, get a life, people.
Yeah, that was great.
Just yelling at the Trekkies.
Get a life, will you? Yeah. Taking something I did as a lark for a few years and turned it into a colossal waste of time.
Let's hear William Shatner with AD.
The Murph and Andy Show presents Three with AD.
William Shatner's one-man show is coming to Des Moines, Hoyt Sherman, Thursday, November 2nd. And this month marks the 35th anniversary of The Wrath of Khan. Obviously, Star Trek still going strong, and I'm happy to be joined now by William Shatner. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
Your one-man show, Shatner's World, coming to Des Moines again, Hoyt Sherman Place, Thursday, November 2nd. You can get tickets, hoytsherman.org. What can fans of yours expect from this show?
Well, I can expect to laugh and cry and be amused and entertained and be joyful and celebrate and yell and scream. How's that?
That's pretty good. That's a lot of emotions in one show.
This is the Broadway show that I did a while back, and I toured with it, and then let it go. And then every so often I take it out. So I'm taking it out for about 10 days, Des Moines being one of the places I'm coming to. I just love doing this hour and a half of really super entertainment. It's gotten great notices, and people are really entertained and have a good time. And so I'm urging your listening audience to come to the theater and enjoy themselves tremendously. It's not one of those empty words where you say, you know, you will, and then you go to the theater and it's so boring you can't stand it. This will be great fun, and you'll stand up and cheer, I promise.
Do you enjoy touring the country for this show?
I hate touring. I'm sure you talk to music groups that come in, and they arrive at Des Moines, and it's an effort to get to Des Moines. And then the hotel beds are always so bad, and your back goes out, and then but then when you get to the theater, that's the reason for coming, and that's the joyful part. But getting to the venue is the journey.
We mentioned the 35-year anniversary of the Wrath of Khan. Star Trek still going strong. Movies, TV shows. How much do you pay attention to the new iterations of Star Trek?
Well, I don't. Not at all. I never. Not only did I not pay attention to my own iteration, but the reiterations, other stuff. Yeah, I never really saw them. I never saw my own.
The fans of Star Trek have to be among the most loyal and rabid in the world.
Well, they're rabid and they're loyal, but they're also very discerning. So if you don't do something good, they'll ravage you in their ravenous ravings.
Did you expect the franchise to have any sort of life like this?
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to believe me, Andrew. You will not believe what I'm about to say, but you must believe me. This interview, 50 years from now, is going to be lauded as the interview of the 2017. This is going to go down. This interview is going to go down in history. Will be repeated 50 years from now, again and again. Do you believe that, Andrew?
I do not believe that.
That's what you would have said to all of us 50 years ago.
Right.
This is what's going to happen. What? Are you kidding? Show lasted 3 years and was canceled. Goodbye.
Wow, that's I appreciate the way you put that. That's unfathomable to me, and I can't imagine how that is for you and the fellow cast
exactly.
of that show.
I mean, it took on a life of its own for reasons that are still speculated on and nobody knows. And here I am 51 years later talking to you about Star Trek, but coming to your town with a whole stage show that is really terrific.
You're one of the most often impersonated people in the world. Is that more fun or annoying?
Well, I don't know what they're doing. I every so often I see somebody looking idiotic, and I nudge my wife and say, "Are they doing me?" And she says, "No, he's just a total idiot anyway." No, they're doing something, and I guess it's me, but it's not me. At least I don't think so. But then on the other hand, I often wondered whether impersonable people like the actors of old, like Jimmy Stewart, or Edward G. Robinson, did they know that they were being impersonated, or did they were just doing? And if they were, wouldn't they get over it? Like Edward G. Robinson, whom I knew for a little bit before he died, he used to go meow, and so one day I said, "You know, you go meow," when he said, "I go meow." And he had no idea. He was going, yeah.
It's so funny you say that because, you know, growing up on Simpsons and things like this, impersonations of your character, especially the Captain Kirk character. And when I actually watched the show, and I've obviously seen several things that you have done, you're right. It doesn't make sense. It's not you. It's an impersonation of some, you know, very extreme part of what you do.
Exactly. There were times in Star Trek when I had so many words to say that I'd pause a moment to think, the hell do I say next? And that became sort of ingrained. So I'd say something, and then I'd say something else as I began to recollect what it was I was supposed to say.
Well, this was a fun conversation. I'm excited. I'll be over at Hoyt Sherman November 2nd.
You can introduce yourself, Andrew.
I will. I will absolutely do that. That'd be an honor to meet you in person.
I look forward to it.
Thursday, November 2nd. Tickets, HoytSherman.org. William Shatner, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Have a nice day.
Well done, AD.
That's a good interview.
Yeah, you should post that one.
That was really good.
Let's get that out and about. He has a lot of fans. I love that because he's a little bit edgy, and if you had asked a derivative or stupid question, or if you had just had a fawning interview with him, I think he would have torn you up.
Yeah, if you had tried to have a go at him or something like that.
Right.
Yeah,
he'd
have.
But he liked you.
That old man, devil may care attitude. He's 86. And he's just kind of got that attitude. Like, look, I am old. I am not going to pretend to be nice. I'm going to just say exactly what I want to say. I don't care how it comes across. I'm not trying to make any friends. I'm just going to be honest. And he just lets it flow, just opens a valve all the way. That's really, really funny. Yeah, I'm just reading here. He doesn't ever like watching himself do anything. I wonder if he looks at videos of his one-man show, you know, to get better or something, or just see how he looks. He probably doesn't.
You're right, though. I was really surprised to hear
he hasn't been doing anything.
Yeah, not only do I not watch the new Star Trek, I never watched my own. I never really liked Star Trek. You know, it's carried me for the last 50 years. But
that was a great line, though, because you can tell he's been asked that a bunch of times. Did you have any idea that Star Trek was going to last this long? Well, let me see. If I told you,
I love the way you put
years,
that.
50 years from now, this interview is going to.
And when he started, I didn't know where he was going. He's yeah.
Neither did he.
Listen to me, Andrew. Listen to me.
Well, because he's practiced that line.
Yes.
A few times.
Yeah, it's good, and it's interesting to hear him too. For my generation, the first notable William Shatner impression was probably John Belushi doing Captain Kirk on Saturday Night Live.
How long, Scotty? For yeah. How long?
Exactly. It was these pauses that kept coming. It was like that. And he just said in that interview with you that it was trying to remember what I'm supposed to say next. That kind of, so it's interesting. Well, that was good. All right, Andy.
So yes.
Yeah, thanks for getting my Facebook rating trashed.
Now, what happened there? What do you mean?
Well, you know, if you have a public page, people can rate it. Is this like Uber, where you didn't know you had an Uber rating? Do you not know you have a Facebook rating?
No, I did not.
Okay,
Facebook rating?
Yeah, what's
I mean, like
time?
Likes? I look at Facebook every day.
People on any Facebook page, any verified Facebook page, uh-huh. You can go rate.
I have
that
one of those
from 1 to 5 stars.
And
people can put comments on there.
Where do you see the rating?
It should be on your page. You should see. I can show it to you. Okay. And have you checked your Uber rating lately? By the way.
No, but I'm sure it's come up because I have tipped every single time.
Let's check that. Yeah. Let's see if it has come up.
You know what? I have actually checked. I've ridden it since the last time I checked, but it is coming up. Miraculously.
Jenny still...
You produce money. They like you more.
Jenny's still taunting me. Her rating is a couple tenths of a point higher than mine on Uber. But anyway, back to Facebook. Andy, let me give you a hint. Even though this is not me... Mm-hmm. Let me give you a hint of why somebody has trashed me on Facebook and made a point to go to the time to give me a 1-star rating, which is as low as you can go, because of this.
Now, I'm a growed up man. I got a wife and kids and a double wide on layaway, but I got feelings. Am I all tore up about Husker football? Well, does a fat dog fart? Hell yes! It makes me sick to my stomach.
Okay, so Clay on my page, he first wrote to me, and he was like, "That is a complete lack of class," and is actually this was after the video was posted, and by the way, it's been seen more than 100,000 times across our platforms. But he said, a complete lack of class, and it's worse than that. It is actually possibly, it could be destructive, and it could cause harm. Mm. And so I wrote him back, and I said,
"Are you serious?"
No, I didn't quite put it that simply. I just said, "Clay,
get a life."
I should have gone to William Shatner.
Get a life, will you, people?
Get a life. No, I just wrote back something along the lines of anyone who takes this seriously and doesn't see this as satirical and realize that you could poke this kind of fun at virtually any fan base, and we are on the receiving end of those kind of jokes here in Iowa for both Iowa, Iowa State, and Iowans in general. Anyone who doesn't see how obvious the humor humor is in this, I can't help that person.
Anybody who doesn't know it's a joke.
Yeah, basically anybody who doesn't
put it any other way.
Yeah, that's I did put it that way. And then
anyone
I
who takes offense to this.
Oh yeah, he's really offended.
Well, that's good. I haven't seen. I shared your post on my page of the video. And I've seen, it's funny, there's a long thread of comments, really long. But most of those comments are just people sharing it with somebody else. You know, it looks like they're posting a comment, but they're just listing the names of three or four friends that they want to see this. And you could tell that's someone who has some obnoxious Nebraska fan friends.
Right.
At least friends on Facebook, and they want them to see it. And I've gotten I've seen any negative comments.
Yeah, it's had a stunning amount of shares. You're right. That when people sharing it with somebody else, it's been on and on and on.
But it's so fun if there aren't some people that get offended and angry.
Well, Clay's your man. Clay with a K.
Clay.
Yeah. So
did he say he was a Nebraska fan?
Was he one of those
people that was just like, now I'm no Nebraska fan, but I'm gonna take a stand in the name of public decency here that you guys should be fired.
He never said, but I hovered over his page. On Facebook or Twitter, 99% of the time I can tell somebody's a fan of based on their reaction to something, especially if it's extreme. So I figured he was a Nebraska fan. Hovered over his and hovered over his name. And immediately saw like his entire profile is pictures of people wearing Nebraska hats, Nebraska
Big Red,
shirts,
go Big Red.
Jerseys, all of that. So then he came back and challenged you to do that impression in front of a group of Husker fans. I said,
Didn't I just do that?
I work with and know Husker fans who find this hilarious, but. Yeah, we're not going to reach Clay here. So then Clay, let me see if I can find him on... here he is. I got his response here.
Made by the bike racks?
Yeah, Clay, let me see. What did Clay write? Clay Castleder.
Where is he from?
Lincoln.
Oh, yeah. God, I love seeing that it got all the way there.
He's from Lincoln. Yeah, I'm not able to navigate it, but anyway, he's trashed me. He's pulled down.
Isn't it
my
funny
rate.
Though how like
he gives you a bad rating?
He doesn't like star. The one video you put up of Andy, right?
Yeah.
Presumably, he likes a lot of the other things you have done. Does that deserve a one star?
Well, maybe, but again, like, he may be just one of these people who had this video shared.
That could be.
That would be my guess.
But like KXNO got a rating a couple of days ago. It was a one star rating, and the guy said, I love everything about KXNO. I hate Colin Cowherd. It's like, well, if you only dislike one of the several shows we put on every day,
then
shouldn't you give me like a 4-star rating? Right? Like,
yeah, I mean, if there's five shows,
those 3 hours.
Right.
Oh, Clay has answered. I said, I said, hi, Clay. Sorry, Doug LeBoner's satirical appearance on Sound Off offended you as a Husker fan so much that you came on here and dropped a 1-star on me. Hopefully in time you'll get the joke.
And he said,
feel free to share the video where we mock Iowans in such fashion.
Okay. Has he got one?
No, he's saying.
Is he making a video?
No, he's making a point that they don't do this to us. They don't make fun of Iowans.
Feel free to share the video where we mock Iowans.
Yeah, because I had said to him, like, we here in Iowa, we can laugh at ourselves. We are the butt of jokes sometimes. Mm-hmm. We get that. You know, every fan base makes fun of the other fan base.
Right.
Right.
But he's implying he might be implying that they're making a video.
No, he's definitely implying that no such video exists, and he's on the high ground as a Cornhusker fan because they've never done this kind of thing.
It's easier to make it look like you have fewer teeth than to make it look like you have all your teeth.
Well, people do it every day.
Oh, it's awesome.
Maybe he was implying that there was another video for it.
Well,
that would
if
be
I'm
great.
Wrong,
I would love
it.
We will share that. Yeah, heck yeah, I will share that.
Let me ask you: Would it be in bad taste to just share all of the Cooter Ray cornholers with
you? Or just write back and be like, are you at all concerned that you're turning yourself into a bigger target?
Start putting some of Sipker's videos over there.
Here you go. Yeah. Here's a dump truck full.
Yeah. You thought there was just this one?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Hang on. Let me take the time to catch you up.
Take the day off, Clay. You're going to need the extra time.
Yeah, take the day
off.
Well,
I'm glad that there's... It's no fun if somebody doesn't react that way.
I know, of course. I'm just kidding about
remember the Bison Nation guy?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's so much more fun having him. If he's not there... I mean, right now, as it stands... I feel like I have nothing but friends in North Dakota, really.
I know.
And nothing but friends. I mean, even the angry guy that wanted to fight me in Sioux City.
Became friends.
Yeah, he asked for an autograph.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's one of the few that I've given out in the past few years.
It's selfies now. No one.
Yeah, they just want a selfie.
No one
but but Bison Nation is the only holdout. He's the only guy still met. But without that guy... It's just not as much fun.
Best part about the Bison Nation guy was he tried to convince himself that he got the joke and he was in on it.
Yeah.
But he didn't, and he was actually furious.
Yeah, but I was just trying to remember what exactly he said. He got it and he was in on it, but there was something about it. It was just not funny. That was the thing. It wasn't funny.
Yeah, it didn't pass
get
this
it.
Funny test.
I know what you're trying to do. I can laugh at myself, but that's just not funny.
And furthermore, let's fight.
Yeah, he was mad. And he lived in Las Vegas, though, so that's really long drive for a fight.
Yeah, and there's nobody with their pulse, with their finger on the pulse of North Dakota more than a guy living in Las Vegas. Throwdowns coming up next on the Murph and Andy Show. Don't
let me throw it down. It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
Let's throw it down, Murph. Next season, Iowa State will host Oklahoma between the Iowa and Akron games. Do you like having that conference game early in the season, or do you prefer they all be lumped together after the non-conference schedule?
I'd rather they all be together. I think at the time when it approaches, I'm going to really like it because it arrives sooner and it's a big, impactful game, and it kind of speeds up the meaning of the season. But then that game after the conference season started is going to feel like a preseason NFL game dropped into the season. So overall, no, I don't like it.
No, I don't like it in football. I don't like it in basketball. I like to shift gears in seasons. I mean, I like that, maybe the first... I'm accustomed to the first non-conference game being a patsy game, one where you're just so excited that the season has started again that it doesn't really matter who you're playing, okay. Get past that game, though, and you get into another non-conference game that maybe means a little bit more than that. And then once you get to the point where you shift gears into the conference season, I don't want to ship back out again. That screws up my focus as a fan, and I would think that it's a little bit difficult and less than ideal for the team, too. It just doesn't make any sense.
Andy, three MLB managers were fired after taking their team to the playoffs this season. If you could have one in charge of your favorite team, would you take Joe Girardi, John Farrell, or Dusty Baker?
Well, Dusty Baker is a distant third. Joe Girardi and John Farrell are both guys that have shown that they're good managers in more than just one place. I mean, Joe Girardi seemed like he got that job because he was a former Yankee. But I mean, this guy, he was the NL Manager of the Year with the Marlins. So, I mean, you know this guy can manage. I think I would take John Farrell ahead of Joe Girardi, though. Showing that you can manage in Toronto and then in Boston, wildly different areas and a high-pressure situation where you can win a World Series, I would think that he would be more likely to succeed elsewhere.
Those are the two clear-cut favorites. I'll go with Girardi on this just because he too has won a World Series. He too has managed in the biggest pressure cooker in sports there in New York City. But I am impressed with how he got this young team kind of what is viewed as ahead of schedule. He's shown that he can win with a huge payroll of superstar free agents, and that he can also manage a young team and get them there ahead of schedule. So I think that speaks well. John Farrell, there was some kind of chemistry problem with the Red Sox this year, and maybe that's not on him, but that tilts me toward Girardi.
Murph, we carved our pumpkin this week, and I usually go with the classic triangle eyes and toothy grin, but my son wanted a silly one, so we have a silly-faced jack-o'-lantern on our front step. What's your go-to jack-o'-lantern design?
My go-to jack-o'-lantern design is as simple as it possibly can be. I'm right there with you. I can manage to cut a couple of circles for eyes and a triangle nose, and then do the jagged edge smile. That's it. You know, Jenny carves up a pumpkin, and with her skill set, it's always something that looks, oh, I didn't realize that. That's you've carved all of our parents into pumpkins. That's very well done. Did you use a photo? No, I went from memory. You know, she has that kind of skill. I can't do anything like that.
I grew up with a mom that really was good at carving pumpkins and was had kind of an artistic flair to her, not to the level of Jenny, but she was somebody that would use other items on the pumpkin, not just the pumpkin itself. She'd take a little gourd and cut it in half and use it as a nose, and take a red pepper and cut that up and use it as a great big tongue, and black olives as eyeballs. And yeah, it was really, really cool. So I have always kind of used some of those methods when I decorate pumpkins, which is never year.
Sounds like, so, Andy, yeah, I like makes the, better pumpkins.
I like the silly stuff. Yeah, I like silly better than
yeah,
angry.
It worked out pretty well.
Because a silly one with the candle behind it, that could be like a maniacal, crazy pumpkin.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Like a clown pumpkin.
There you go.
Yeah, Jenny did the throwing up pumpkin. That's always fun.
The throwing up pumpkin?
Yeah. You put some of the pumpkin guts outside of the mouth.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those. Those are good.
The poll is up on Twitter at Murph_Andy. Who won throwdowns? Was it Murph or was it Andy?
Hour number two starts with trending Iowa next.